Just waiting on the sermon PowerPoint. Let me pray for us whilst we get that organised. Father in heaven, you are the God of wonders. You are the mighty one, the Lord of heaven and earth, yet you've revealed yourself to us as our loving heavenly Father through your Son, our Lord Jesus. We thank you that through him you have reconciled all things, that we enjoy peace with you through the forgiveness of our sins. We thank you for the security that brings us, the hope, the joy, peace, love. And we particularly thank you for these things that you've given us in these times in which we live. Our Father, we pray that you'd be with us now as we hear your word taught, that you'd give us soft hearts, willing to listen. We pray for the work of your Spirit to transform us from within, that we may live in such a way that is pleasing to you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're thinking about putting on the new self. New year, new me. Has anyone heard that little saying? Yeah. Let me begin by sharing an opinion piece by a lady named Kuba Shand Baptiste. Never heard of her before. It's from the iNews UK website. I'd never heard of the iNews UK website either. But it was an interesting article. It's about the concept of New Year, New Me. The headline is, "Sounded ridiculous before the pandemic, now it's all I want." She writes, "I've never been one for sticking to New Year's resolutions or making them at all. On the few occasions that I have made vague promises to adopt new habits or let old ones go, I've usually forgotten what they are by Quitter's Day, the day in mid-January when we're most likely to leave our promises to ourselves in the dust. My reservations about the practice came from resentment, specifically my resentment of the pressure that comes with summoning some imagined better version of myself, only to beat yourself up about still being the person you always were a few weeks later. It felt naive, cruel even, to give in to the concept of new year, new me. Except this year. What normally feels like something I should scoff at actually sounds quite appealing. I realised recently I haven't allowed myself to think further than a few days or weeks ahead at a time since the pandemic began. A relatively sensible approach, perhaps, given the mountain of uncertainty that faces us, but I live in my head at the best of times, and I've found that remaining firmly in the present is becoming an increasingly draining experience. While I know the likelihood of suddenly doing a 180 on my own bad habits is slim, in brackets, I've got therapy for that anyway, I'm drawn to the idea of at least trying to imagine what I'd like my life to look like next year, even if parts of it remain out of my control. She says, we all need something to hold on to now that the pandemic has made itself what feels like a permanent fixture. The energy it's sapped from us and the circumstances it's changed for us have all contributed to changing us, in some ways for the worse. I've never been more lethargic. My mental health has reached new lows and everything is a little more daunting. Socialising, which I've always found difficult, often feels like one long awkward icebreaker exercise on the first day of school. We're all eager to please, scared we have nothing interesting to say. But the thrill of throwing yourself in the deep end anyway, only to find that conversations can be as nourishing as they are nerve-wracking. A friend of mine reminded me recently that not long after the first lockdown, I'd said something along the lines of, "This will be our lives forever." In fact, I had forgotten I said it at all, but now it looks like I could be right. The idea of drowning in my own inertia is no longer an option. I've found a new beauty in the cliche of willing in a fresher version of myself, even if it only lasts for half the year. It is a bit cliched, isn't it? The cliche of willing in a fresher version of myself. Today I want to unpack a Bible passage that reminds us that real change is possible. Not just as we begin a new year, but daily and across our lifetime. The passage is Ephesians 4, 17 to 32, which Andy read. In it, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he makes two key points. One, how not to live as Christians. And two, we have a new way of life. And then he applies these points with a series of examples. So let's look at the text again, beginning with point one, how not to live. So this is Ephesians 4, verse 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed, or more literally, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with greediness. With greediness. We can't get enough impurity once we take God out of the picture. And note that it's every kind of impurity, not just the impurity on display at the work Christmas party or the big New Year's Eve party. We lust for all sorts of impurity rather than the purity of God. And we were right in there with the they. It's a bit of an us and them type passage, isn't it? But we were right in there with the they before Christ intervened in our life, so we can't judge. We can only be eternally grateful to God for his mercy and grace towards us in Christ Jesus, for him forgiving us and giving us a fresh start. A new way of life. Point two. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. It's pretty simple. Put off, be made new, put on. This is our new way of life as Christians. And as I said at the beginning, this is not just a New Year's resolution type thing. This is an everyday, all of my life thing. You and I are to put off our old self, which has been corrupted by deceitful desires. The Greek word is literally take off, as in clothes. At the end of the day, when your clothes are dirty and a bit smelly, for some of us, not all, it's time to take them off. They need to be washed. We are to lay aside, we are to rid ourselves of the old, godless, impure ways. Take it off. Instead, we are to be made new in the attitude of our minds. It's important that we notice this. This transformation process begins with the mind. We need a new attitude. Before, it was godless. God never came into mind. I couldn't care about God or what God wants. No interest. Now, it is to be God-centered. Before, it was all about me and my wants, what I want, when I want it. Now, it is to be about God and Christ and his wants for my character and for my behaviour. So, without consistent and regular church and Bible study and personal reading of Scripture and prayer, then it's going to be very difficult to be made new in the attitude of my mind. I won't be surprised if the attitude of my mind is shaped by the world. My friends and family, social media I connect with, the things I watch on Netflix. That will shape my attitudes. And we know that our character and behaviour flows from our thinking. So verse 23, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We can't clothe ourselves in Christ, being like him in character and action, unless we think like him. Know what he wants. Understand true righteousness and holiness from God's perspective. So here is the process of renewal, of true change. Put off the old impurity, be made new in the attitude of our minds, and put on Christ-like character and action. So let me encourage you, as I encourage myself, to recommit to this process in the new year. Now, before I conclude, that would be very brief, let's consider Paul's specific applications. So applying the put off, put on way of life in 2022. The first one he goes to is our speech. Verse 25, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. So do you see the pattern in that example? Put off falsehood, lying, pretense, hypocrisy. Change your thinking. We are all members of one body. We all belong to Christ as his church. Christ is all about truth, so it makes no sense for me to lie to you, to be pretentious, to pretend that I am something that I am not. That's all worldly stuff. That's what I was like before I became a Christian. Instead, I should put on speaking truthfully, being honest with you about who I am. I am not perfect. I am a sinner with weaknesses and temptations. And I have and I will face trials and experience pains and disappointments. I should be the same person here as I am at home. Example two, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. What are we putting off? Sinning in anger. Is there anyone here who has mastered this command? Doesn't it only get harder? I'm in danger of becoming a grumpy old man, and I'm not even that old yet. Here's a better reason than becoming a grumpy old man to not give the devil a foothold. That's got to be my thinking. Don't give the devil a foothold. I need to change my mindset. Sinning in anger delights the devil. It gives him a chance to get in and ruin my closest relationships. Because let's be honest, who makes us angry? Strangers, maybe. Bad drivers, a little bit. The people we live with. Our relatives who know how to push our buttons. The devil wants to ruin us, and he can do that by ruining our closest relationships. Not just natural family, church family. Sinning in anger against a brother or a sister can cause serious division in a church. It can lead to the destruction of a church. Instead, resolve any issues you have with a family member or a friend or a person at church as soon as it is practically possible. And of course, as much as it depends on you. Sometimes we can try to restore, but the other party doesn't want to know about it. So it's as much as it depends on you. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. So let me speed this up for the sake of time. Verse 28, another example. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. I love this verse. You know, it shows true transformation from stealing, cheating, fraud, greed, to generosity by the power of God. Transformation of people. It happens. Verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. It has a lot to do with our speech, these things, doesn't it? Transformation of our speech. In this verse is a great New Year's resolution for our homes. For our homes and our work and our church. Put off the unwholesome talk. That takes a change of mindset, doesn't it? By the power of the Holy Spirit, by prayerful dependence and a godly desire to then put on Christ-like speech, saying wise, loving, helpful, beneficial things in every conversation that we have. That's a challenge, isn't it? We talk a lot of rubbish. And here's the catch-all conclusion. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we Christians keep living the old way. He's redeemed us for something better. When we keep living the old way, we sadden the Spirit of God. We grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He has redeemed us from the old way for a better way. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, put off, be made new, and put on in 2022. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this reminder of what you have done in us by the power of your Spirit. You have redeemed us in Christ. We know we have forgiveness of sins. We know we have the hope of everlasting life. But more than that, you have worked in us internally to transform us into the image of your Son. Lord, you want us individually and as families and as a church family to reflect the character and behaviour of our Lord. So we pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would work in us to put off those old ways, to think better thoughts, God-centered, Christ-like thoughts, and then live that out in action, in the way that we speak, things that we do, in our homes, in our workplace, in our leisure, in our church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.